All right, I will confess it. I love this day. I love it. Yes, I complain, like all of the rest of you, when the Christmas decorations go up in the stores in late October. But I love seeing them. And I grouse just like everyone else when I start hearing the Christmas carols in the store around Thanksgiving. But I love hearing them. In fact, you know, none of it really bothers me because I know already that I'm going to be doing all of my Christmas shopping on the last possible day anyway. In fact, this year I even made a Pandora channel for myself called Classic Christmas Carols around about Veterans Day. I love this day. I love it that we have this day, and I love it that you are here. Maybe you read the essay by Professor Worthen in yesterday's New York Times. She opens with some pretty unkind comments about the congregations that come to church on Christmas and Easter. And then she goes on to make the pretty straightforward observation that now that something like a fifth of all Americans claim no religious affiliation at all, even these great crowds of Christmas and Easter are going to get smaller. Well, maybe. I am not so sure that's all that important. When you are in my line of work, at some point, if you are wise, you give up counting the number of people who are sitting before you, and you start asking yourself why they came in the first place. And so, I have been looking forward to seeing you for a long time. And I have been asking myself this question. What is it you are expecting tonight? What are you looking forward to? Why did you come? What expectations do you have for all of this? Were you expecting to hear Yuletide carols being sung by a choir? Well, you got that. Were you expecting to hear children singing the songs of Christmas? Got that, too. They taught me in seminary, never follow a kid's act, but there it is. Were you expecting to see a beautiful church decorated for Christmas? You know, we may be small, but this truly is a beautiful place, especially when it is decorated with the candles and the greens for Christmas. It is the ideal of a little church on Christmas Eve. We live in a moment of history when we expect most of our lives to be comprised of simple, straightforward transactions. I do my work, I get my check. I pay my tuition, I get my degree. I give you this gift, I get a gift from you of equal or slightly greater value in return. Our expectations shape what we are willing to give of ourselves. We want a balanced transaction. We don't want to be made a fool of putting in more than we get out. Michael Sandel at Harvard has coined a wonderful word for this central idea in our culture. He calls it economism. The idea of economics coming to be something like a religion. It's the idea that everything, our work, our relationships, our social participation, everything is something we approach as a gamble, as an investment. Everything gets shaped by our expectations. We calculate what it is we're going to get out of it, and we calibrate our willingness to give anything of ourselves based on that explanation, on that expected return. No surprise that Scrooge's profession was to be a man who kept ledgers. So what are you expecting right now? What are you expecting out of Christmas? What are you expecting out of church? What are you expecting out of this ancient story about the poor little family and the pitiless innkeeper and the three wise ones coming to visit King Herod and the shepherds and the angels and the little baby wrapped up in linen against the harshness of a barn. You've heard it all before. You know how it goes. What do you expect from it? The wise men expect this star to lead them to a great palace and a magnificent scene of majestic birth. And that is why, no wonder, they show up at Herod's house. That is where they expect all of this to be happening. And when Herod turns out to be completely clueless, they move on, not knowing what to expect. The shepherds are sort of in the story to give us the opposite end of the social spectrum from the wise men. If the wise men are the tenured professors and the hedge fund managers of the story, the shepherds are the NASCAR fans and the truck drivers. They don't really expect much out of this world. But then comes this bizarre message from angels, and they don't quite know what to expect either. And then, at the very center of the story, are two people who right this moment are becoming parents for the first time. And like any first-time parents, remember, they are bewildered. They are scared to death. They are filled with hope, and they have no idea what to expect. None of the principals in this whole story really knows what to expect. But all of them know one thing. Something about what is happening means that change is coming. There is something to be on the lookout for. The wise men know it, and they show it by bringing gifts fit for a king to a baby born in a barn. Something must be going to change. The shepherds know it because they leave flocks and field and any last chance they had for a reputation for responsibility to come and see what the angels told them about. Mary and Joseph know it because, well, now they are parents. And if parents know anything, they know that change is coming around every next corner. So here is my question again. What are you expecting out of all of this? If you have calibrated your expectations for tonight so as to avoid being disappointed in the hour you're going to spend in the little church hearing the old familiar songs, well, then you probably will get just about what you expect. But it may not amount to much. You see, the great gift of this night is exactly that it cannot be captured in a transaction. You cannot measure out your expectations just right when it comes to God, because God does not want a contract with you. God doesn't want a careful, balanced, measured exchange with you. God wants a relationship with you. And that is why the baby is shivering in the barn. In that child, a gracious God who believes we are worth living for and worth dying for does something so completely outside our expectations that it might just get our attention. That is the gift of Christmas. It is the gift of giving you freedom from the world of transactions and accounts. It is the gift of daring to have expectations of something more than just an exchange of gifts with God. We can't expect God to dance to our tune. We can't expect God to change the rules that give us free will and the power of conscience and somehow take all the darkness away, end all the suffering that comes with our foolishness and our frailty. But there is not just darkness. What becomes true tonight is light in the darkness. light that the darkness, no matter how dark, never overcomes. These weeks of December have seemed like dark times indeed. There is a circus going on in Washington, known as the federal government. There is a catastrophe happening in Connecticut. There is war and want and terror and tears. We are still capable of the worst that is in us. And if that is all you expect, then it will be all that you get. And here is the Christmas gift. Here is the Christmas gift you can take with you from the little church and keep in your heart all next year long. It is the gift of giving yourself permission to live in expectation. It is the gift of giving yourself the right to be like the wise ones, and like the shepherds, and like Mary and Joseph, to expect something coming to you from God. Too many people around us have given up on God because God has not met their expectations. And maybe you've been tempted in that way too. But the wise ones and the shepherds and the parents, they all knew better. They didn't know what to expect. They simply trusted that the light had come and that the change was coming. They put aside their own expectations, and because of that, they could finally see the change, the signs of what God is doing. And then they and we could become part of the change. Here in this place, we do not always have all of the answers, and we cannot always solve all of the problems. But there is always light here. Every day of the year, there is the light of this night, the light that no darkness can ever overcome. It is the light that we give each other the courage to dare looking for. And when you live in expectation of that, that will be what you get. The light has come. The child is born. The gift has been given. New life born in us. Thanks be to God. Amen. Thanks be to God.